In the following half-hour segment, we're going to take a look at a feature of a recent or an upcoming film release. Reading now from the New York Times of Saturday, June 21st of 1997, the following article is by Bernard Weinraub, W-E-I-N-R-A-U-B, at Stateline Hollywood, June 20th, and headlined, Austrian Tutor, played by Brad Pitt, was a Nazi. Subtitled, an SS member fled from the British and crossed the Himalayas. The article reads in part, a forthcoming film starring Brad Pitt as an Austrian mountaineer who treks to Tibet during World War II and befriends the young Dalai Lama has been plunged into controversy over the revelation that the Austrian had a Nazi past. The film, 7 Years in Tibet, is to be released by TriStar, a division of Sony, on October 8th. It is based on an autobiographical account by Heinrich Harrer, H-A-R-R-E-R, now 84, about his escape from a British internment camp in India and his trek across the Himalayas to Tibet, where he tutored the 11-year-old Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader. Mr. Harrer left Tibet in 1951, shortly after China overran the kingdom, and has remained friends with him, that is to say the Dalai Lama. What has provoked unease and criticism in the is the detailed revelation late last month by the German magazine Stern that Mr. Harrer was a member of Hitler's SS, the Nazi special police, with a rank equivalent to sergeant. The magazine also published a photograph of Mr. Harrer with Hitler, who was congratulating him on a mountaineering expedition. Mr. Harrer had never indicated what he was in the SS, saying only that he was seized by the British while on a mountaineering expedition in the Himalayas because he was Austrian. Rabbi Abraham Cooper, associate dean of the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles, a human rights group for Holocaust studies and issues, said there was no indication that Mr. Harrer had participated in atrocities as a member of the SS. The 80-page file on Mr. Harrer, held by the German Federal Archives in Berlin, shows that he was a sports instructor, according to Stern. But Rabbi Cooper, whose organization made available translated German documents about Mr. Harrer, said that the Wiesenthal Center was appalled that the Austrian had never admitted that he was a member of the SS. No one forced him to join the SS, Rabbi Cooper said. Here is someone who insists on the public limelight and has never utilized that opportunity to make a definitive statement saying, I wasn't a kid, I made a terrible mistake. I voluntarily embraced a racist ideology that nearly brought this planet to ruin. Rabbi Cooper added, he's suffering from Waldheimer's disease. The reference was to Kurt Waldheim, the former United Nations Secretary General, who hid his Nazi past for decades. Skipping down, Stern reported that Mr. Harrer had joined the Nazi SA, or Sturmabteilung, or Stormtroops in Austria in 1933, while the organization was still illegal. 5 years later, he joined the elite SS, or Schutzstaffel, or Protective Echelon. The magazine also published a 1938 document in which Mr. Harrer had asked Heinrich Himmler, the SS leader, for permission to marry and provided the requisite family trees to show that he and his bride-to-be were so-called Aryans. Permission was granted. And again, this forthcoming film is due to be released later this year. It's called 7 Years in Tibet, and the hero, Brad Pitt, is basically a former SS man who tutors the Dalai Lama and is represented here as a good guy, sort of rehabilitating to a certain extent, at least in this instance, the image of the SS. Now, as a general consideration, it should not come as a particular surprise to a knowledgeable student of the Third Reich and the Second World War to see an SS man involved with the Dalai Lama. This is not to cast aspersions on the Dalai Lama, but rather the Nazis and the SS in particular had a considerable interest in Tibet, which they saw as being relevant to potential archaeological discoveries, which the Nazis viewed as reinforcing some of their occult beliefs concerning the origin of the, quote, Aryan race, unquote. And again, note the quotes. And in fact, in search of proof for some of their occult, of archaeological proof for some of their occult beliefs, the Nazis sent a number of expeditions to Tibet, and we're going to take a look at that right now. We're going to rely for our information on a book entitled Unholy Alliance, subtitled A History of Nazi Involvement with the Occult. That book was authored by Peter Levenda, last name L-E-V-E-N-D-A, And in this book, there's considerable discussion of the Nazi expeditions to Tibet, and they made a number of them. And so, again, it should not be all that surprising to see that the Dalai Lama's tutor was a former SS man, because that is an area of the world where the SS took a lot, in which the SS took a lot of interest. I also wonder whether his escape from the a British prison camp, Mr. Harrer's escape, was really as miraculous as he made it out to be. I wonder whether perhaps he went to work for Western intelligence, as so many Nazis and SS men did. Harrer basically says that on his fourth or fifth try, since the British had just left the escape route open, he basically just lit out straight for the Himalayas. And again, I wonder whether perhaps there's more to the story of his escape than we have been told. But in any event, again, this will seem to be a shocking thing for at first to see the Dalai Lama as a young boy being tutored by an SS man. But again, as I said, the SS had a great deal of interest in Tibet, an area in which they sent a number of different expeditions looking for archaeological proof for some of their occult beliefs. And again, discussion of the Nazi and SS expeditions to Tibet contained in the book Unholy Alliance, subtitled A History of Nazi Involvement with the Occult. That authored by Peter Levenda, last name Levenda, published in softcover by the Avon Press, and copyrighted 1995. And in this book, there's a discussion of the Nazi expeditions to Tibet, and the author writes as follows. One of the more controversial stories circulating about the occult activities and interests of the Third Reich concerns Tibet. Much is made of the Nazi-Tibet connection in Pauwels and Bergier's The Morning of the Magicians, a 60s international bestseller, whose sometimes outrageous claims of magical forces and sinister conspiracies overshadowed a more serious message that discovers in the occult underworld of the Third Reich the seeds of a spiritual crisis about to be born. It was therefore with some skepticism that the author approached the vast microfilmed records of the captured German document section of the National Archives to see whether or not there was evidence for such a mysterious, quote, connection, unquote, and was rewarded by the discovery that several complete rolls of microfilm representing hundreds of pages of documents record nothing but the efforts and adventures of the SS Tibet expedition led by that tireless promoter of Tibetology in all its forms, Dr. Ernst Schaefer of the Annenerbe. By the way, the Annenerbe, or Ancestral Research Bureau, was the branch of the SS that was specifically in charge with looking into some of the SS occult beliefs and the SS's beliefs in the origins of the, quote, Aryan race, unquote. Continuing. What is even more striking is that the records contain not only Schaefer's personal and official correspondence, his Tibet notebooks, and his personal SS file, but also clippings from German newspapers chronicling the, quote, SS Tibet expedition in all its glory. What is compelling in these records is the day-to-day story of Schaefer's struggle to get his various expeditions off the ground, searching for the funding, permissions, and support from the Nazi government that were not always forthcoming. It would seem that Schaefer's primary goal in trekking through the Himalayas was more scientific in nature, and hence of less immediate value, than the Reich leadership was willing to accommodate. After all, much of Schaefer's reporting has less to do with concerns of a military value than it does with the flora and fauna of this inaccessible land. Schaefer's academic credentials were in zoology and botany, with some courses in geology, geography, and ethnology. He seems to have been marching in Sven Hedden's footsteps, and was indeed for a time the head of the Sven Hedden Institute, the organization based in Munich that also became a Reichsinstitut and eventually a separate section of the Annenerbe SS. As mentioned earlier, the files also contain correspondence from Hedden to Schaefer as late as July 27, 1942, in which Hedden signs himself as, and I'm not going to try to dry the German, it translates, "Your faithful and sincerely devoted." After forwarding greetings from his sister to Schaefer's wife, and to the curator of the Annenerbe, Dr. Wüst, Schaefer's SS personnel file shows one trip to East and Central Tibet from 1934 to 1936, and another to Tibet, the official SS Tibet expedition referred to in the press, from April 1938 to August of 1939. In other words, during the period of the so-called phony war, unquote, that predated the invasion of Poland in September of 1939. Thus, we cannot rule out the hypothesis that Schaefer was involved in something more than butterfly gathering in this historic and official trek to the Himalayas at a time when great international crisis and global tensions. To be sure, Schaefer was not back in Germany 2 months before preparations were being made to organize a Tibetan North Indian strike force to oust the British from their rule in India. Then it goes on to describe Schaefer's rise in the Nazi Party. Ernst Schaefer was born in Cologne on March 14, 1910, the son of an important industrialist and director of the Phoenix Rubber Company, and attended school in Heidelberg and Göttingen before becoming part of a Tibet expedition organized by the Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia in 1930, when Schaefer was only 20 years old. He then became a member of the American Brooke Dolan expedition to Siberia, China, and Tibet in 1931. In 1933, Hitler became Chancellor of Germany, and it appears as if Schaefer was one of the March Violets who got on the Nazi bandwagon after Hitler consolidated his political power that spring. His membership in the Nazi Party was 4690995, and his personnel record shows membership in the SS as beginning in the summer of 1933, rising in rank to Untersturmführer in 1936, Obersturmführer in 1937, Hauptsturmführer in 1938, and finally to Sturmbannführer in 1942. He had also been awarded the coveted Totenkopf ring, or Death's Head ring, which was a rune-inscribed piece of SS jewelry designed by folkish occultist Carl Willigert, described in the following chapter on Otto Rahn, and was a member of Himmler's personal staff, as was Willigert. All of this is mentioned to demonstrate that Dr. Schaefer was nothing if not the ideal SS man, at least on paper. The orders raising him in rank were signed by Himmler, and his fiancée had to undergo the usual investigation of her racial background as the prospective spouse of an SS officer. They were married, eventually with the blessing of the Reichsfuhrer SS, in December of 1939, and were busy dutifully producing Aryan offspring, three daughters by 1944. But as an academic, Schaefer's published works include, according to his SS dossier, Berge Buddhas und Bären, Mountains, Buddhas, and Bears, oh my, Mountains, Buddhas and Bears, excuse me, then another one called Unknown Tibet, the Roof of the World. Among his articles can be found this typical one in English, quote, Four New Birds from Tibet, unquote, in the 1937 Proceedings of the Academy of Natural Sciences and from Philadelphia. So, Ernst Schaefer was also a scientist who published regularly in respected journals on his discoveries, and an explorer who emulated the master Sven Hedden by writing books about his travels in the mysterious East. Thus, we have established that Dr. Schaefer was a man of many parts, one part SS officer and one part scholar, one part explorer and one part scientist, a Nazi Indiana Jones. Schaefer was a career scientist who does not seem to have been interested only in the possible military potential of his travels in Tibet, but kept meticulous notes on the religious and cultural practices of the Tibetans, from their various cultural lamaistic festivals to Tibetan attitudes toward marriage, rape, menstruation, childbirth, homosexuality, and even masturbation. For instance, in his account of Tibetan homosexuality, he goes so far as to describe the various positions taken by older lamas with younger boys, and then proceeds to inform his audience how homosexuality played a significant role in the higher politics of Tibet. One wonders how Schaefer was privy to such intimate detail of Tibetan sexual practices, and then comes across a report by SS Obersturmführer and filmmaker Ernst Krauss, who was part of the SS Tibet expedition of 1938 and 9, dutifully recording his personal observation of a 15-year-old La Chung girl masturbating on a bridge beam. It is not known whether Krauss took advantage of this opportunity to film this particular episode, but the author was startled to discover that a collection of his film clips, silent, black and white, have survived and may be viewed at Tibet House in New York City in VHS cassette form. Certainly, this is one of the most intriguing video documents of the Third Reich. There are pages of such careful observation of the local people in a variety of intimate acts that would otherwise have been performed privately had it not been for the ever-present and watchful eyes of the master race. Happily, not all of Schaefer's observations were of the sexual habits of the La Chung and other Himalayan peoples, nor of the flora and fauna, as the following article from the Nazi Völkischer Beobachter of July 29, 1939, relates. Dr. Ernst Schaefer, SS Hauptsturmführer, has now completed the first German SS Tibet expedition with extraordinarily great success, and will soon return to Germany with his guides. The participants of the expedition visited, as the first Germans, the capital of Tibet, Lhasa, the seat of the Dalai Lama, as well as Tibet's second-largest city, Shigatse, the capital of the Panchen Lama, and visited the huge monastery of Tashimps, that's T-A-S-C-H-T-I-M-M-P-S, first visited in 1907 by Sven Hedden. By comparison, Sven Hedin's Trans-Himalayas discoveries required several trips to accomplish. The harvest of the expedition regarding botanical and zoological connections is uncommonly rich and rare and of great value. And an article, and then Lavenda goes on to comment, and an article from Der Neue Tag, dated July 21st, 1939, is even more informative. This article entitled, Sacred Tibetan Scripture Acquired by Dr. Schaefer Expedition on Nine Animal Loads Across the High Country. And this article reads, and this is Dateline Frankfurt, July 20th of 1939, The Tibet expedition of Dr. Ernst Schaefer, which during its expedition through Tibet stayed a long time in Lhasa and in the capital of the Panchen Lama, Shigatse, is currently on its return trip to Germany. Since the monsoons begin unusually early, the return march of the expedition was hastened in order to secure the shipment of the previous collections. The expedition has singularly valuable scientific research results to inventory. In addition to outstanding accomplishments in the areas of geophysical and earth magnetic research, they succeeded in obtaining an extra-rich ethnological collection, including, along with cult objects, many articles and tools of daily life. With the help of the regent of Lhasa, it was Dr. Schaefer who also succeeded in obtaining the Kangshur, K-A-N-G-S-C-H-U-R, the extensive 108-volume sacred script of the Tibetans, which required 9 animal loads to transport. Also especially extensive are the zoological and botanical connections that the expedition has already shipped in part to Germany, the remainder of which they will bring themselves. The zoological collection includes the total bird fauna of the research area. Dr. Schaefer was also able for the first time to bag a shoppy, a hitherto unknown wild goat. About 50 live animals are on the way to Germany, while numerous other live animals are still with the expedition. An extensive herbarium of all existing plants is also on its way. Furthermore, valuable geographical and earth historical accomplishments were made. Difficulties encountered due to political tensions with the English authorities were eliminated due to personal contact between Dr. Schaefer and the members of the British authorities in Changtse, so that the unimpeded return of the expedition out of Tibet with its valuable collections was guaranteed. Then Lavenda goes on to comment, No further mention is made of the sacred scriptures, the Kangshur, which is the core document of Tibetan Buddhism, and I have been unable to discover what happened to it after the war. Though, for reasons too complex to discuss here, I suspect it wound up in a museum in Vienna. It is worthwhile noting that nowhere in the above-mentioned article does the term SS appear or Nazi. Der Neue Tag was a newspaper published in Prague, and the article was printed only 2 months before Blitzkrieg began. In an identical article published the following day in the Hannoversche Tageblatt, a German newspaper, the missing SS in SS Tibet Expedition is faithfully restored. Sadly, a search of other articles from the same period do not reveal the disposition of the 108 volumes of sacred scripture. An interesting aside to this story of the official SS expedition to Tibet is revealed by a list of expedition members. They include one Dr. Bruno Beger, B-E-G-E-R, an anthropologist. Later, Dr. Beger would become better known as one of the scientists who, working for Professor Hurt of the Annenerbe, was involved in the collection of 115 human skeletons at Auschwitz for inclusion in a Nazi anthropological museum. Assisted by one Dr. Fleischacher, Becker selected the skeletons while their owners were still alive as Jewish, Polish, and Asiatic members of the death camps. The, quote, specimens, unquote, were then murdered at Nazweiler concentration camp in such a way as to avoid damaging the skeletal material, and their bodies were shipped out for scientifically managed decomposition. Beger's mentor, according to interviews with other Nazi scientists, was the same Dr. Ernst Schaefer, and Beger even provided Schaefer with a collection of Asian skulls while he was collecting for over 100, quote, Jewish commissar, unquote, skulls for the Berlin Institute. Another colleague of both Beger and Schaefer was the botanist Dr. Vollmar Vareschi, V-A-R-E-S-C-H-I, whom we find at the Sven Hedin Institute in Munich, when he isn't attending lectures with his friends on various pseudo-scientific topics. Dr. Hurt himself was also involved in the notorious study of the effects of mustard gas on yet another 150 prisoners at Nazweiler. Much has been made of this expedition, and elsewhere it has been suggested that the, quote, earth magnetic, unquote, and, quote, geophysical, unquote, studies Studies undertaken in the inhospitable terrain of the Himalayas during a time of the greatest international crisis were actually experiments conducted by order of the Reichsfuhrer SS himself. That is, that they were bizarre scientific attempts to prove the world ice theory, a theory which, had it been proven, would have provided the Third Reich with an invaluable weapon against its enemies. And again, it was believed by the occultists of the Third Reich that the, quote, their, quote, Aryan, unquote, ancestors had previously colonized or had certainly visited Tibet in prehistoric times. So that's what that reference is to. Another article which also discusses some of the occult overtones of Nazism, as well as some of the operations of what I term on my program the Underground Reich, that is to say, various elements of the Third Reich that went underground at the end of World War II. This is an article that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle this past week about an organization called Colonia Dignitat, or Dignity Colony, in Italy, or in English, rather. This is a German emigre colony in Chile, which appears to have served a number of different purposes over the years, including serving as a prison and torture center for the DINA, the brutal Chilean secret police that were installed by Augusto Pinochet when he came to power in 1973. And the Dignity Colony also appears to have functioned as a refuge for various SS men and Nazi war criminals on the run. We've looked at Colonia Dignitat in previous programs, including RFA program number 21, when we looked at Operation Condor. This was an international assassination consortium that was engaged in by a number of different Latin American dictatorships, along with Italian and Spanish fascist elements. They operated in conjunction with what I've termed the Underground Reich, people like SS Colonel Otto Scorzini, Italian fascist Prince Giusto Valerio Borghese, and also in conjunction with elements of U.S. intelligence that functioned with some of these same elements during the Cold War and post-World War II periods. I've noted that Operation Condor was responsible for, among other operations, the dispatching of Orlando Letelier in Chile, or in Washington, D.C., rather, in September of 1976. An article about Colonia Dignitat appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle of Friday, June 27th of 1977. This is an article by Sebastian Rotella of the Los Angeles Times. It's dateline of Parral, Chile, and headlined, Manhunt in Chile for the Chief of a Mysterious Colony. It's subtitled, German Veteran Accused of Child Molestation. The article reads as follows. The old man with the glass eye is on the run again, probably hiding somewhere in the 34,000-acre citadel he rules in the Chilean countryside. Paul Schaefer, a corporal in the German Army during World War II, fled his homeland in 1961 while under investigation for allegations of sexually molesting children. Now the 76-year-old founder of a reclusive German-speaking community is being hunted by Chilean police on a new charge of sexual molestation. For 36 years, Schaefer's Colonia Dignitat, the Dignity Colony, has thrived in the Andean foothills despite accusations that leaders engaged in sexual abuse and cult-like activity and helped Chilean secret police operate a concentration camp after the 1973 military coup. Schaefer has built a state within a state, complete with agribusinesses, a hospital, school, airfield, and paramilitary force. He has lavished hospitality on politicians and top military officers under General Augusto Pinochet, Chile's former dictator and current commander of its armed forces. But the government of today's democratic Chile has placed the colony under siege. A special prosecutor is investigating allegations ranging from million-dollar tax fraud to slave labor. Colonia Dignitat has become an enigma wrapped in suspicion and myth. The government seems determined to answer long-time questions. Has the brightly painted compound behind barbed wire, where 350 men, women, and children are segregated from one another in barracks under Schaefer's orders, been the scene of barbaric crimes? Or is it just a persecuted rural charity? And how has this secretive enclave accumulated power and survived for so long? There has always been something strange, an aura of power that protected them, said Senator Sergio Bitar, B-I-T-A-R, a leader of the governing center-left coalition. This is one of the dark chapters of the Chilean system. I am in favor of dismantling the place. I believe this is a group with a Nazi-inspired philosophy that has ties to extreme rightist groups and military connections, that this is the source of their power, unquote. Schaefer has frustrated a manhunt for months. He is believed to be hiding somewhere in the fields and forests of his domain, which is equipped with tunnels and bunkers. The isolated outpost lies at the end of a dirt road an hour's drive from the town of Parral. About 300 police swarmed the compound last week and conducted the longest search yet for the fugitive leader. Schaefer is charged with sexually abusing one boy and is under investigation in three more cases. Other Dignidad leaders are charged with helping him elude justice and refusing to return Chilean children enrolled in the country's boarding school to their parents, who are peasants from the surrounding area. The crackdown has its critics. Although Schaefer's allies admit that the charges are serious, they defend the community and the charity work of its hospital and school. Quote, "We are concerned that as a result of a veritable campaign against Dignidad, their social work will come to an end, thereby harming thousands of humble people who receive these free benefits," a group of 22 conservative senators declared recently. The senators urged Schaefer to surrender, but accused the authorities of persecuting the colony's inhabitants. One of Colonia Dignidad's most effusive defenders is Manuel Contreras, whose father was the general in charge of the now disbanded Chilean secret police known as the DINA. The father, also named Manuel Contreras, is serving a 7-year prison sentence after being convicted in 1993 of ordering the 1976 assassination in Washington, D.C., of Chilean exile Orlando Letelier. Continuing. That assassination was one of thousands of crimes, murder, torture, kidnapping, blamed on the DINA during Pinochet's dictatorship. The Contreras family has a warm relationship with Schaefer and, quote, "These Germans, veterans of World War II, who were eager to cooperate with the military government," unquote, the younger Contreras told the magazine Caras. "The leaders of Dignidad are experts in intelligence and security techniques," he said. "The Germans admired his father because he did his duty," Contreras said. Quote, "In their fatherland, in they war their war, they also obeyed orders, and no one appreciated them," unquote. Schaefer was also accused of child molestation in 1981, but the case file disappeared at the courthouses in Parral, according to Carlos Verdejo, V-E-R-D-E-J-O, chief of a child abuse unit of the National Service for Minors. The judge handling the case allegedly lived in a house in Parral that was owned by the colony, Naranjo said. The return of democracy in 1900 changed the official attitude. Child molestation charges surfaced last year, and authorities decided to take concerted action. If the investigators are right, the old man is hiding out on the property he has transformed into his own fortified patch of Bavaria. "Never during these 36 years has the colony been so weak," said Congressman Jaime Naranjo, a socialist politician. "I am sure he is in there because he knows the place like the back of his hand. I believe he is in an extraordinarily difficult situation. And this desperate situation could lead to a violent defense or to collective suicide," unquote. In our next half-hour segment, we're going to continue with a description of Colonia Dignidad, some of the Nazi occult overtones to some of the practices of the place, and some of the activities that its residents appear to have been involved in. That, however, will be in our next half-hour segment.